neglect that the Christian Science Church had persuaded the federal government to force upon the state. And this was during the Nixon administration, when there were many high-placed Christian scientists within the ranks of the Nixon administration, and especially Ehrlichman and Haldeman, who brought in their Christian Science friends. And the administration has told me that the Christian Science Church was the only party that asked for this remarkable policy, and they've also told me that there were high-placed Christian scientists within the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare at the time. So after we lost our son in 1977, we studied the laws and saw the religious exemption laws in state after state, and finally figured out that it was the federal government that was forcing this policy on the states. And so my husband and I made 3 trips to Washington to talk to federal officials. We wrote over 50 letters. And in January of 1983, the federal government dropped the policy. But in 1974, when that policy was adopted by the federal government of coercing the state, there were only 11 states that had a religious exemption from child neglect. By the time we got it rescinded, January 1983, every state in the union, except Nebraska, had a religious exemption in its civil code or criminal code or both, and the Christian Science Church will continue. I mean, they continued to use that and say, well, you know, there are 46 states that have a religious exemption, so you should have this one in the criminal code. And I mean, the federal government had only coerced adding religious exemptions in the civil code, but the Christian Science Church coordinated the federal push with their state lobbyists and got many religious exemptions in the criminal code at the same time.
Huh. Are these exemptions pretty uniform across all the states that have them, or are they different state by state?
They have become different in the criminal code, especially. In the civil code, most of them follow the model that the federal government laid out for the states back in the 70s.
I'm sorry, I'm going to butt in here a little bit. Do these laws give an exemption to, is it just the parents, or is it also Christian Science practitioners or people or faith healing ministers? Who's the exemption for?
The exemption is for the parents.
Okay. Which brings me to the issue, once again, I guess, is that if you are a parent in a mind control cult of some sort, maybe not severe, not as bad as maybe Scientology or Christian Science, but yet a real strong obey or you're in sin and you're going to be in outer darkness for the rest of eternity, where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth and people burning and blah, 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 blah. Somebody who's in that, a parent who's bought into that mindset, and then like you and your husband and several other couples that I know of, who following that faith-based belief system find that they have injured their child, even unto death, and have realized this is all horsepucky. This is just wrong, period. Setting this thing up here, the question then is the parents being prosecuted criminally for something that they sincerely and truly had a faith-based religious teaching and instruction in, that makes me wonder, are the parents the victims or villains in this whole situation?
Well, I have a lot of empathy for the parents, and they are victims, but somebody has to take responsibility for the child, and parents have care and custody of children. And, you know, it'd be nice if we could file charges against some of these irresponsible faith healers. Mississippi, of all states, did that back in the 90s in one case, and the pastor and the parents pled no contest and were given probation. But a minister has a First Amendment right to say whatever he wants to say, of course. You know, a minister can say from the pulpit, doctors are of the devil, you should never go to a doctor, God heals all disease, you should trust God. You know, a minister has a First Amendment right to say that, and it's the parents that have the legal duty to the child. If the minister is in the child's home and knows that this child is extremely ill and is not getting medical care, there might be a way to file charges against the minister. That was the situation in Mississippi anyway. In Canada and in England, charges criminal charges have been filed against Christian Science practitioners. And in those countries, the Christian Science Church handles the situation entirely differently. They openly tell parents to go to a doctor. And I think because the Christian Science Church is more concerned about protecting its practitioners than it is about protecting its parents.
Well, it's obviously that they're more concerned about protecting their practitioners and any subsequent lawsuits rather than protecting their doctrine and dogma.
Right.
I mean, what makes the, you know, England and Europe different in the practice of doctrine and dogma than the United States, other than the law? So I see where you're going, that there needs to be some kind of accountability for these kinds of behavior. And the parents are the ones that are ultimately responsible for these things. Yeah. It's a tough situation, walking this razor's edge between, you know, faith and fraud.
And, you know, the parents are brokenhearted when they lose a child, and they loved their child. They thought they were acting in the best interest of the child. And criminal prosecution is a hammer. I mean, it's a very heavy weapon.
Yeah.
I do think that the law itself should be clear. You know, we strongly support religion-neutral laws. We believe that children have a right to equal protection of the law, and that these religious exemption laws discriminate against a class of children, depriving them of protections that the state extends to others. If a health care measure is important enough that the state believes it should be mandated for children in general, it should be mandated for all children. And
yeah, the fantasy of equal protection under the law still is a fantasy.
Courts have seldom ruled that children have constitutional rights. There are over 100 nations in this world that have given children explicit rights in their national constitutions, but the United States is not one of them. And there's only one state that has given children rights in its constitution, and that is Montana.
Interesting
fact. Yes.
Yeah. That's another thing. Well, and Montana's right next to Idaho, which is something I wanted to get to. One of the things is that you have on your website, and I want to make sure to mention this. I mentioned this in the introduction, the website. Her website, Rita Swan's website, is childrenshealthcare.org. You can easily look this up on Google. Her website, I have to tell you, is wonderful. It's easy to navigate. Your webmaster deserves a nice pat on the back. Attaboy, attagirl. There's also on here, you'll see pictures of children who succumbed to medical neglect of some sort or another. Tragic stories. They are heart-tugging stories, and if you're emotionally up for it, I encourage you to read them. You'll understand why we are adamant about encouraging and supporting Child Inc., not-for-profit organization, to do something to protect children, because obviously people are not doing something that they need to do. Unfortunately, we have to use the strong arm of the group, and I'm not a collectivist by any means, but you got to do something to protect the innocent. This business religious exemption throughout the country is horrendous. You'll also notice on her website that there is another website listed. And Rita, I'm going to let you take it from here on your Idaho emphasis.
Yes. That's a long story. Would you like me to talk for maybe 10 more minutes? And
absolutely. You take as long as you want. We can do what we want.
Okay.
Please go ahead. What is the website for your Idaho source or your Idaho website?
Our Idaho website is www.idahochildren.org.
Great.
And I'd like to start in Oregon. In Oregon and Idaho, there are churches called Followers of Christ that are anti-medical and believe in relying only on prayer and ritual to heal disease. In 1998, a pediatrician and I published the largest study of child mortality in the faith healing sects that has ever been done. And we studied 172 faith deaths after the religious exemption laws became mandated by the federal government. And we found that 80% of those children would have had at least a 90% likelihood of survival with timely medical care. And I spoke at a national child abuse conference about this in January of 1998, and a new Oregon prosecutor came running up to me afterwards and said that they had faced deaths in her county and she wanted to do something about it. 3 weeks later, a child in her county died of untreated diabetes, and it was the third faith death in that Followers of Christ Church congregation within a 7-month period. She found that the laws of Oregon completely protected the parents. By 1998, the Christian Science Church had gotten religious exemptions into Oregon law to manslaughter, homicide by abuse or neglect, criminal mistreatment of children, criminal non-support, neglect, and failure to provide necessities. So there was nothing she could do about this death, but she did alert the media, and the media went out to the cemetery owned by the Followers of Christ and found 78 children buried there, and it was big news for weeks, and the Oregon public was outraged. One of our child members asked his legislator to sponsor a bill to repeal all 9 of the religious exemptions pertaining to medical care of sick children, and the sponsor agreed to do that. So in 1999, that battle was fought out in the Oregon legislature. The Christian Science Church fought us tooth and nail, and over 75 amendments were proposed to that bill, most of them trying to pacify the Christian Science Church, what the church claimed they wanted, and then they would go to other committees and say they wanted something different. But we finally got a bill that repealed 5 of the 9 religious exemptions in Oregon, and we hoped that that would be enough to persuade the Followers of Christ to change their behavior. And for many years, it seems that we had succeeded. But in 2008, the faith death started up again in Oregon in the Followers of Christ. And the press was on our side very much in Oregon and said, well, we ought to repeal these other 4 religious exemptions. And my husband and I asked that same legislator if he would file a bill to repeal the remaining 4 exemptions. And he said he would, but it had been such a brutal struggle in 1999 that we decided to move out to Oregon to help him. And so in 2011, we moved out to Salem, Oregon, and lived there for 4 months. As soon as the Christian Science Church found out we were living in Salem, they gave up. And they wrote a letter to the legislators saying that they would not oppose this bill because the deaths in Oregon had reached, quote, a critical mass. I think that's a classic line. When
wow.
It was 78 children in 1999, that was not a critical mass. But when it was 82 children in 2011, the deaths in Oregon had reached a critical mass, and the Christian Science Church agreed that the legislature should do something. We did get all 4 religious exemptions repealed comparatively easily because the Christian Science Church gave up and wrote a letter to the legislators to that effect. There has not been a medical neglect death in the Followers of Christ since 2009, and we're very proud of that. We do believe that we have changed the behavior in Oregon. It did take prison terms, it seemed like. The last Followers of Christ child to die in Oregon, his parents were sentenced to 6 years in prison, and they're serving that sentence. And there was another faith-healing church in Oregon called the Church of the Firstborn that had escaped the media attention, and they apparently didn't pay attention to what the laws were or how they had been changed, because they let 2 kids die, one of a ruptured appendix and one of diabetes, after 2011. So that was very discouraging to us, but the parents who let the child die of diabetes got a 10-year mandatory minimum prison sentence, and we haven't heard of any more faith deaths in Oregon since then. We have heard that some of those Followers of Christ in Oregon have moved to Idaho, where they can do whatever they want with no penalty. There are 4 Followers of Christ congregations in Idaho, and we have hundreds of children who have died in Idaho in the Followers of Christ, 146 of them since Idaho acquired its laws giving a religious exemption to criminal injury and manslaughter. And the authorities were doing nothing about these deaths. The prosecutors were not filing any charges and not making any protest about the laws. Of course, prosecutors are sworn to uphold the laws. And one coroner in a county where many of the followers of Christ's deaths were taking place told the press in 2011 that she doesn't even do autopsies on these children because, Idaho requires autopsies only when a crime is suspected. And she said it's not a crime. They have a legal right to deprive their children of life-saving medical care. So I don't even do autopsy. It's very bad in Idaho, and the culture is so different from Oregon. The public doesn't care as much as they did in Oregon by a long shot. It's very hard to even get the media to care about the deaths in Idaho. It wasn't until a Portland, Oregon TV station sent its reporters out to Idaho and covered the death that there was any Idaho media coverage at all. We had written to the largest newspaper in the state far back as 1999, calling attention to the deaths in Idaho, and they wouldn't cover them. Even today, the Idaho Statesman in Boise, I've gone to their website and done a search on followers of Christ, and the only article they ran was an AP article that was, you know, not generated by their own reporters, and they just printed a shortened version of the AP article. And there are just so many legislators in Idaho who say it's a First Amendment right for these parents. The representative, Christy Perry, in Canyon County, where many of these followers are, says that the state has no right to interfere with them because they believe that their children are going to have a better life in heaven. And how is the legislature qualified to judge that? So it's a very, very terrible situation in Idaho. There just have been so many children die, and we've tried for 3 years to have bills introduced to repeal or modify the religious exemption, and the legislative leadership will not allow even a public hearing on the bill. This year, a Democratic...
Blocking it in committee is the good old-fashioned way of doing it.
Yeah, I mean... This year, the committee chair had originally promised that he would support a compromise repeal bill, and he directed the Attorney General's office to draft a very limited repeal bill that we were willing to accept because it would improve the protection of the children. But then in January, after the Attorney General's office had prepared the bill, this legislator, he's the chair of the Senate Health and Welfare Committee, Senator Lee Hyder, he actually went to a Followers of Christ church service and came out of it telling the media, this is not a child protection issue, it's a freedom of religion issue, and these parents love their children. They're just normal parents like you and me doing what they think best for their kids. So he renounced his support for the bill, but he still said he would give a hearing if somebody else sponsored it. So a Democratic legislator took the bill that the Attorney General had drafted at the request of the committee chair, and he tried to introduce it, and this chairman of the Senate Health and Welfare Committee, Senator Lee Hyder, would not only allow a public hearing on the bill, he even blocked the bill from being printed. So it's just...
Wow. Well, Rita, what can we do? If people listening to this podcast want to help you in your endeavors, what should they do?
Contact us, and if they live in one of the states where we can work, certainly their voices would be valuable there. There is a foundation in Idaho called the Protect Idaho Kids Foundation that is going to run public service announcements trying to build public education and public support for repeal of the religious exemption. So you can go to protectidahokids.com and see the commercials that they're planning to run. We've given them money to support this, and they would be glad to have donations for that. They need to raise several thousand dollars more to put these commercials on the air. They say that we can't depend on free media in Idaho. We've never had to pay for media coverage before, you know.
Right.
But in Idaho...
Well, the climate is different. The media climate, is different in Idaho, so...
Very different. Very different.
You got to pay for it. Can people send you money earmarked
yes.
for that group if they wanted to do that?
Okay.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And both groups are 501c3 tax exempt?
Yes.
Okay, so, all right, folks. So here you go. If you want to help and you know you you can't. You're busy, you're working, you're doing everything you can to keep your head above water in this economy. But you do want to help, and you set aside some money, at least if you're in the position where you can make a substantial donation over time to tax-exempt organizations, you do get that off on your taxes. Please contact Rita Swan at Child Inc., and that's, go ahead, Rita.
It's childrenshealthcare.org.
Childrenshealthcare.org. Thank you. Send a substantial donation either to her organization directly or earmarked for one of these other organizations if you care about it that way. This is a very important issue, and, of course, the reason it's important to we deists is that we do not believe that there is revelation knowledge given that is to be expounded to everybody else. You can have your own personal revelation. That's good, and that's fine for you, wherever you got that from. But if you tell me I have to obey your invisible friend's orders, otherwise you're going to hurt me, we've got a big problem. And I have a right to defend myself. I also have a right to defend the innocent. And that's what we as deists believe, is being straightforward and reasonable, because God gave us reason, not religion. Religion is a binding. And we've talked about the definition of religion before, but religion is literally the ties that bind. And we don't need to be bound to made up ideas and made up concepts. Rita, we're just about out of time, but I did want to ask this question, and because we see different cases periodically that come up where children are sometimes infected by the practice, or they suffer severe mutilation because of the practice, and that is male and female circumcision. Does your organization deal with that at all?
We do not take a position on male circumcision in general. We do take a position against the type of male circumcision practiced by the ultra-Orthodox Jews that involves, you know, sucking blood from the penis, and that has been shown to cause herpes in babies. We certainly take a position against female genital mutilation.
Okay, good. Good. Just curious, because that's one of the things that we often point out in our material that we put out are these cases of the transfer of herpes and other diseases to innocent baby boys. And, of course, we are against the female genital mutilation. I don't know why we don't call it male genital mutilation as well, but, oh, well, either way. Horrendous practices to give on little babies, and we never know, we were told for years, oh, babies don't remember stuff, but now the research is coming out and showing that even little babies, just days old, do have something that happens because of a traumatic event. So, folks, that's where it is. We live in a complicated and crazy world, and that's why reason is very, very important. Rita, thank you so much for joining with us and sharing your story and giving us some hope that there is change. Things can be better, and children don't have to be victims of medical neglect. Thank you very much for your efforts in joining with us.
Oh, you're so welcome, Tim. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak on the World Union of Deists platform, and appreciate the work you do. I've known about it for years, and it's an important segment of our society. It's an important voice to have out there.
Great. Well, thank you very much. Thanks, folks, for joining into this podcast. Share it with your friends. Put it up on Facebook. Spread it all over the place. Help us spread the word. Thank you for joining with us on Reason, Deism, and God. Remember, you can get a hold of us at www.deism.com. And also look for us on Facebook at the World Union of Deists. As a community organization, we also have a World Union of Deists group, and you can also get a hold of us through the Declaration of Sinlessness site, facebook.com/
born sin free. Catch you again, and remember, God gave us reason, not religion.
Join the religious revolution. For thousands of years, a pure and simple belief in God, the designer and creator of the universe, has been held hostage by revealed religions. Greedy and dishonest men have smothered this natural and reason-friendly idea of a creator for their own selfish desires by making false claims to direct communication with the creator. They have filled volumes of pages with nonsensical, fear-producing drivel that they call Holy Scripture. Whether it's called the Torah, Old or New Testament, or the Quran, it's all ancient gibberish that goes against our God-given reason. Finally, towards the end of the European Age of Enlightenment, a reason-friendly system of belief in God was born. It is called deism. Deism happily unites our God-given reason with a realistic belief in nature's God. We're no longer burdened with such insane ideas as original sin, a vengeful and jealous God, a flat earth, the road to salvation requiring a bath in the blood of a man-god, or symbolic cannibalism. Deism points to the designer of nature, our creator, by applying our God-given reason to the designs in nature. This is truly a strong, clean, and healthy break from the ancient revealed religions and their fear-based superstitions and man-made myths. If you'd like to learn more about deism, if you'd like to free yourself and your family and friends and society from the man-made, unreasonable dogmas of the various revealed religions, write us, the World Union of Deists, for free information packet on deism. Write to WUD Box 4052, Clearwater, Florida, 33758. That is WUD Box 4052, Clearwater, Florida, 33758. Also, for an in-depth look at deism and to contact us, look on the web at www.deism.com.